Welcome to The Lead, a podcast about how to get ahead in the news industry from the people who did. I'm your host, Jacqueline Gannon. Today, I'm talking with Kelsey Coffey, a broadcast reporter at WRAL in Raleigh, North Carolina, and recent University of Georgia graduate. She gets up at 2:30 a.m. every day to deliver the morning news as people start their day. In this episode, we talk about the connection Kelsey has with her viewers, finding your own why in journalism, and the project she worked on with Charlene Hunter Gault, a phenomenal journalist and one of two students who desegregated UGA in 1961. But first, a word from our sponsor. This episode is produced by the Cox Institute for Journalism Innovation, Management, and Leadership at the University of Georgia's Grady College. Now, here's The Lead. Hi, Kelsey. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. So I want to start with a pretty broad question. Why journalism, and then why broadcast specifically?
So funny story, I did not think I was going to be a journalist, although I went to J school. I was in the career explorations class my first year, and at the time I was toying between PR and journalism because I knew that communications was going to be it for me. I had enough insight into myself to know that that's where I belonged, but I just didn't know exactly where in the family I should go. And it was Dean Davis who told me. He said, look, you need to be in TV. And I said, okay. And I did the classes, and I just didn't feel a deep connection with it. At the time, the curriculum at Grady was different, so students didn't have the opportunity to really do broadcast stories until their last semester if they chose to take news source. So I didn't really get exposed to what this incredible field of work is until the very end, right? And even with when I got to news source, well, that was in the middle of the pandemic. But I had the gift of doing a documentary project that we'll talk about a little later. And when I did that project, I said, oh, this is it. This is something that I could really see myself doing and loving. And why broadcast journalism specifically is I just think that there's really no better medium. The connection that I have with the viewer is just amazing, especially doing morning television. I am with people when they are making their eggs, and when they are wrangling those kiddos to get out the door to go to school, it's the intimacy that is in that, and that's really special.
Yeah, I love that, the real-life experience. And also shows, I think, the importance of student media. Doing that practical stuff is so important, whether that's through student media or whether that's through a project like you did. Like, it shows you what is out there and is, wow, like, this might be something I want to do. So you graduated pretty recently, within the past 5 years, and you're in a top 25 broadcast market. So can you talk about how you got to such an impactful market where you're able to reach so many people kind of so soon after graduation?
This has been nothing but grace. I am so blessed to be in a top 25 market under the age of 25. Not only that, but at a really great station. I really respect and appreciate the work that is done at WRAL, the station that I work for. I also will say this, the business is changing, and it's not about market size, right? It's about what is the best fit for you and your experience, and also these bigger markets are taking a chance on younger reporters. And we're rising to the occasion. We're doing it. So if anyone has a big market goal out there, I would say you may get there sooner than what you think. And then that's when you really have to evaluate the why behind your doing it. Because if you are chasing after market size or money, none of that will fulfill you in general. So you have to know, okay, I'm doing this to serve people. And this is why I love my job. What is the greater purpose of my job? Because if you're chasing market sizes and money, it'll never fulfill you.
Yeah, that's that public service aspect of journalism for sure. And, you know, this isn't a field where if you want everyone to love you all the time, it's probably not the field for you. But I think that's great to keep in mind. Like, market size and impact is something to consider, but you always have to have that, your personal why.
That needs to be the driving force, because if you don't have that, you will lose yourself in this business, or you'll burn out prematurely. Because this business is hard anyway. But if your why is not in the right place, you'll be done in less than 5 years. And it won't be because you weren't talented or you didn't have the grit. It'll be because your priorities are in the wrong place.
I think that is so, so important to have that driving force, that your own why behind your work. I'm really glad that you brought that up. I think it's really good advice. And like you said, this is a public service industry. It's kind of, it's not supposed to be a self-centered thing. You know, you're trying to see, how can I best serve the audience? And how can I best inform people? And that requires a real, I think, a humility. And that humility comes from having that why. So I think that's really, really great advice. So that documentary that you mentioned that made you want to pursue journalism, that was UGA's 60th anniversary of desegregation special. And you worked with Charlene Hunter Galt on that, who is one of the two students who desegregated UGA in 1961 and has gone on to just a wonderful career in journalism. She's amazing. So I want to ask, did you ever think when you were an undergrad you'd have the chance to work so closely with her? She's like really an icon on that special and on her book called My People, 5 Decades of Writing About Black Lives. Did you ever think that you'd be able to work with her on these projects? And what have these experiences meant to you?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I could not have even conceived of that kind of blessing. And just the privilege that I have of knowing her and being able to work with her. When we did the documentary project, what people don't know is that she did a 3-hour interview with the group of students that was working on that project. And just to hear her talk about her experiences through UGA, her growing up, all the way up to really where she is now as an icon in present day, was really special. So I did that. And then for the documentary project, I also did it was supposed to be almost like a bonus episode, I'll put it that way, where I interviewed a panel of influential people in the Black community at UGA. And of course, she was a part of it. And there was a moment where I just really felt like her and I connected. I can't remember what the question was. I think maybe I was just even thanking her, right? Just for paving the way and doing what she did. And it was like we clicked. And shortly after that, I got an email from Valerie Boyd. Valerie Boyd has now passed. She was a professor here. And she said, hey, you know, Charlene would like to chat with you. And I said, me? She'd like to chat with me? And that's when I got bought into the My People project. And what a gift that was to be able to work on that. And Charlene is so gracious with her time. And sometimes I forget she's that big of a deal because she's so down to earth and so kind. And she's doing everything that she can to make life better for the people who are coming after her. What a gift.
Yeah, that is just so, so amazing. And it's almost, it's like a full circle moment, a legacy moment. I feel like that you get to work with her. And I love that so much. And you mentioned that you worked with her a lot over Zoom and virtually because you graduated into COVID in 2020. So I wanted to ask, did COVID impact your career trajectory or maybe how nervous you are about pursuing journalism?
Wow. There's so many things. COVID, there's so much to unpack there, y'all, talking about COVID. But the first thing I will say with the pandemic is the isolation that I went from as a young person in undergrad, having the time of my life, thriving socially, to nothing. That was a difficult transition, sure. But the 1-2 punch of the pandemic and the racial reckoning that happened across the United States was insane. So I remember being in my dorm room. I was an RA in Rutherford Hall on the first floor, and that room hardly had any light. And I was doing all my classes virtually, and I was seeing all of this chaos on social media regarding the fallout after George Floyd's murder, and I started reflecting on my own experiences as a Black person in the South, and doing that documentary project really was therapeutic for me in that time during COVID, because it gave me a positive way to channel the frustration, the emotions, I'll even say the anger. I remember being angry during that time. But what a gift it was to do the documentary project, where I was able to educate and uplift and inform people so that we can be better and do better. And as Charlaine likes to say, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, that is so, so powerful. And again, just that real life in-person experience that you had that kind of showed you like, oh, this is what I might be meant to do at this point in my life. Maybe not forever, but right now, like, these are the stories that I want to tell.
Because of the pandemic, because nothing was going on, I could really throw myself into it and really just be consumed by the storytelling. If the pandemic wouldn't have happened, I don't think I would have been a journalist, just in general. I think that it gave me time just to take out all of the noise and really see what I'm passionate about, and that's storytelling.
Silver linings and like butterfly effect and just unexpected things is such a great thing to think about whenever in your situation, like not loving this, like what could come of it maybe. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned you were an RA on campus. You were really involved in things in the journalism college, but then also things outside of it. You were actually my orientation leader when I was a freshman, which was really cool. And it's great to be talking to you now. So what were some of the things that you were involved in college, and how did those, I guess, one, impact your college experience, and then two, do they inform your career today still?
I had the most fun ever during my time at the University of Georgia. Nobody had more fun than me on this campus, period. I remember when the pandemic happened and they said, not only just go home, stay home. And I said, well, you know what? I've done everything that I could on this campus. So if I never come back, know that I lived and had a great time here. So I did orientation, yes. I was a part of the Student Alumni Council. That was really a pivotal experience because it taught me the gift of being able to connect with alumni as a student and really understanding that relationship dynamic between students and alumni. And now as an alumni, I feel compelled to give and to serve because I was exposed to that as a student. I also did Georgia Football Ambassadors, so that was fun. I did the recruiting stuff. It was just nice, honestly, to be able to be in the air conditioning and get a free meal. So I did that. But all of those experiences really helped shape me into the person that I am today. And a lot of that has to do with the relationships that I built. So many people that I have connected with through those organizations, I still talk to them now, whether it's, you know, former professors or my orientation team, whom I love. It just, what a beautiful time that was being here, and so great to come back.
I love that because COVID hit second semester of my freshman year, but it's been wonderful to be back and kind of have campus go back to people being able to do all those things and make all those connections, like you said, that you'll have for hopefully years. So you're now a journalist at WRAL in Raleigh. What is a typical day in your life like? And are you on a certain beat? Are you covering kind of stories from all over? Like, what is your job like?
My day starts at about 2:30 in the morning. I work the morning shift. So if any of you guys are watching TikTok and the Get Ready With Me with the Morning Reporter, that person is me. So I will wake up and I'll get my story assignment around 2:45. I will see what elements we have to work with, what kind of video we have. Do we have any sound bites to work with? I'll put together a script from my house. I will connect with my photographer, and then we are live out on location, and I'm on TV by 4:30 in the morning. And I'm essentially doing live shots until 9 o'clock. And what I'm covering any and everything. But essentially, with morning television, your goal is, what do viewers need to know before they head out the door? What is it that they can take away from this newscast that will help them be prepared for their day? So I'm doing anything from breaking news to here's what's happening in city council to, hey, here's the latest with the school board, whatever I can do in a minute or less. I'm probably only talking for 45 seconds to a minute about, hey, this is what you need before you head out today.
I really like that public service aspect. You kind of are centering the audience and, like you said, what do you need today? I think that's really great. And also, as you said, you're kind of in the household in the morning when people are getting ready, or kind of a presence in their lives, which I think is really cool. And so broadcast kind of involves a lot of different aspects, like you mentioned, photo, video, graphics, words on the screen. Do you ever feel overwhelmed trying to work with all those elements, or is that something that you really like about broadcast journalism?
Sometimes it is overwhelming because you have so many tools in your toolbox, and there are so many ways to create. In order to streamline what you're doing, you always have to keep the viewer in mind. No matter what is going on, my job is to serve the public. So, for example, I think, you know, it's always great to bring a data point in your stories, right? Well, what can we do with a graphic or some type of data visualization so the viewer at home can see, here's how this number impacts you? I think that there's a difference between saying several school bus drivers have called out sick today versus saying 150 school bus drivers have called out, and this is why it may impact your child being able to go to school today. And then I also talk right to you. It's a difference. It's about people. It's always about people. And if you want to do this business and you think that it's going to be about you and you get to be famous, you got a rude awakening for you, because that's not what this is.
Yeah, when we're taught pitching, it's why. You know, what is the...
Why should I care? Yeah. You have to make them care within 7 seconds in TV. 7 seconds. That's all I have. If they don't care, they're going to turn it off. And truth be told, my mom has been a great help with that, right? So my mom watches every morning. And if my mom doesn't understand the story, then that means the viewers at home didn't understand the story. So shout out to mom for that.
I love that. That's a great first line of defense, you know, first proofread. It's always so great to have people where you can send like writing or audio and say,
yes,
like, what do you think about this? Does it make sense to you? Because I've been in the weeds of the story for months and it makes sense to me, but some people don't have all that context. So I love that. So my last question is, what advice do you have for aspiring journalists, and specifically aspiring broadcast journalists?
That this is a good business to be a part of. I have experienced the negativity when it comes to this business. It's difficult, absolutely, but it's worth it. It can be fun. It can be rewarding. You just have to find your niche and know your boundaries. And everyone's boundaries are different. I get up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do my job. Now I'm off by 10:45 in the morning. Let's be clear with that. My shift does end. But that may be a boundary for someone that they are not able to do. Sometimes, you know, with overtime, I have to decide what's my boundary. I've experienced people saying, oh, well, we never get paid and we don't get this. And they're always working us work. Well, what's the good stuff about it? The good thing is I have the opportunity to inform people about decisions that they make in their daily lives. I have a chance to make a difference, to have a platform, to share, to love, to uplift. And that's enough for me. It's enough for me.
That's something that I've heard over and over again, and I really try to remember, is people aren't obligated to share these stories with you. And it really is like a gift and a privilege to be able to talk to people. And like you said, with that information, then go on and share their story or inform people.
Yes, what a privilege. I mean, when a particular thing that always gets to me as an interviewer is a grieving mother. That takes me out every time. And as journalists, we should never get used to that. What a privilege it is for that mama to sit with me and to talk about losing her baby, no matter how old they were, especially if it was due to violence. I never take that for granted. I never take that for granted. You shouldn't.
I have chills. It's so powerful.
It gets me every time.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a great way the industry is moving forward is it used to be that you shouldn't have any emotions. You shouldn't, you know, like be talking with this person and have sympathy for this person because you're objective and you're a brick wall. But now I think there's more of a shift to like, yes, I am objective, but I'm also a human being. And this is something that's horrible. And I'm going to interview you, but I'm going to have empathy for you. And
empathy. Mm-hmm. Well, what are we thinking about whenever we're talking to people? And I'm guilty of it too, because we've got deadlines and pressure and managers asking us for stuff. But these are people's lives. These are people's lives. So that's my advice is, you know, hey, it's a good business. You just have to find what works for you in it.
That's great advice. Thank you so much for joining me. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you again to Kelsey for joining me on this episode, and thank you for tuning in to The Lead. I'm your host, Jacqueline Ganun. Our executive producer is Charlotte Barnum, and the show is supported by the Cox Institute. To keep up with The Lead and hear more from media leaders, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on X, formerly Twitter. We are at The Lead Podcast. And on Instagram, we're at Cox Institute UGA. See you next time.